This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, there was a lecture that I heard a long time ago from the lectures of this great scholar that lived many years ago, 10 years ago, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah. The lecture was about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how the shaitan wears one sandal, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told believers never ever wear only one sandal or one shoe. So the shaitan is the one who always wears one sandal. He's the one who sits in between the light and the darkness. So half of his face is dark and the other half is light. So the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ was being explained by the Shaykh in this beautiful lecture. So a student put up his hand and said, "Ya Shaykh, I've got a question." Listen to his question. It is amazing. He said, "Ya Shaykh, you know, sometimes when we put our shoes outside the masjid and we try to find where our shoes are, we find the first shoe, we put our legs into the first one, right? And then we look around, where's the second shoe? And we find it sometimes after one or two steps. So we end up taking one step or two steps, and then we find the other shoe, and then we put our left leg in the other shoe. So is that all right?" And what the Sheikh said right after that blew my mind away. Until I reuse this to tell my son all the time. What did the Sheikh say? Do you know what he said? And it shows, therefore, his question, his answer. I know you're very anxious to know what he said, but I'm going to tell you, not just yet. The Sheikh and the answer that he gave shows how true scholars answer questions. There is something called fatwa, absolutely. But before that, before a fatwa, there's something called taqwa, fear of Allah. So a scholar, a true scholar, always answers from taqwa before he answers from fatwa. Because that is the gharad, that is the true intention of fatwa, to achieve taqwa. Is it not so? So look at what Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah he said. He said, "Ihris ala alla ta'si Allaha walau bi khatwatin wahida." He said what? He said, "Struggle with your life to not disobey Allah with even one step." Ya salam, ya salam. Ya ikhwati, sins are the destroyers of the pleasures of this dunya. Sins are the destroyers of the connections that we have with Allah Azza wa Jal. Sins are the destroyers of our future in Jannah, of us looking at the face of Allah and being with our Prophet in Jannah. Sins are the reasons why today people disregard us. Sins are the reasons why our wealth does not come to us. Sins are the reason why we are losing today, ya ikhwati. What caused the people, the greatest people that lived on this earth, the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, what caused them to lose the battle of Uhud? It was sins. The fact that they disobeyed Rasulullah ﷺ, a direct order from going down and not taking the war booty. What caused the Muslims to start to lose the battle of Hunayn? Initially, when the Muslims started to lose the battle of Hunayn, which was a battle that was fought after the battle of Makkah, when Makkah was conquered, and then right after that, few weeks later, the Battle of Hunayn took place. Muslims were full of pride, full of self-amazement. Wow, we conquered Makkah. We are so strong. So what happened? As soon as they started the Battle of Hunayn, they started to lose. They started to die. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that self-amazement from their hearts, brought them down to planet Earth. And then they realized, wallahi, victory is only in the hands of Allah. And then Allah azza wa jal subsequently gave them victory in the Battle of Hunayn. My brothers and sisters in Islam, what causes us to lose and to not have wealth in this dunya is also our sins. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nothing stops the wealth from coming to a son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nothing stops the wealth that Allah has written for a person from coming to him or her except for his sins." Do you know why we're not getting wealthy? It's because we're sinning. If we stop sinning, all the wealth Allah has written for us would be coming for us. Have you not noticed when you do good deeds, more wealth comes? Then know this, when you sin, your wealth also stays away. And also, in one narration, it is reported that with sins, the more you sins, the sooner you will die. Meaning with your sins, your umr in this dunya, your life and how long you will live in this dunya is cut down. And with repentance, it is increased. Also with sins, the number of children Allah gives us is decreased. One of the reasons why we have less children today, or why today we have a crisis, of course, alhamdulillah, for many Muslims, we don't have that crisis, mashallah. But for the world today, why is there a crisis with the birth rate? You know why? Because of the number of sins we do. Because when we sin, Allah will withhold our children from us. Because children are a gift from Allah. And do you know why there's so much ignorance today? Again, because of sin. Because when you sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever guide you. Until Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says in his fatawa, he says, every single sin will lead to another sin. He says what? Every single sin will lead to another sin. It is the cycle of sins until it will lead you to shirk and then to Jahannam. Why and how does Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah make such a statement? He makes such a statement based on the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. Allah will not guide those people who are sinful transgressors. So if therefore Allah is not going to guide those people who are sinning, that means that is going to lead them, lack of guidance is going to lead them into another sin, isn't it? Which will therefore mean that they are further proven to be fasiqeen, which will lead them into another sin, which will lead them into another sin. And this is why it is so important that you break the cycle of sinning. Ya ikhwati, it is because of our sins that we do not feel the sweetness of ibadah today. We don't feel the sweetness of ibadah sometimes in charity, or the sweetness of ibadah in looking after our parents, or the sweetness of ibadah in our salah, or the sweetness of ibadah in Ramadan. Why not? Because, ya ikhwati, it is sins that have taken this away from us. Actually, sins actually cause us to not even do the acts of ibadah. If you sin at night, how do you expect to get up for Fajr? And is there a reason why we don't get up for Fajr, except that you are actually sinning at night? In the authentic narration reported from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he said, حُرِّمْتُ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ أَشَرَ سَنَوَاتٍ بِسَبَبْ ذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبْتُهَا. He said, what? He said, verily I was forbidden from قيام الليل, standing up for the nights in prayer for 10 years in my life at one stage, because of one sin that I did. Can you imagine, ikhwati, the effect of the sins? By the way, can you also notice how few the sins these righteous people had that they actually knew which sin stopped them from the qiyam al-layl? Whereas us sometimes, we have so many sins, we have lost count. Ya ikhwati, do you know why today people look down at us? Why perhaps today the world looks down upon Muslims? Why perhaps today our children don't take our parents as their heroes? Why perhaps the brothers look upon other brothers as low human beings, and sisters look upon other women as poor creatures, poor examples of human beings? Do you know why we don't get the respect we deserve? Because of sins as well. Because if you cannot look after the right of Allah upon you, the fact that Allah is in front of you and yet you are sinning, and you are therefore destroying the image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within yourself, then it is because of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes humanity to also disrespect you. In an authentic narration from Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, look at what he said. Wallahi, this is so amazing. He said, when I sin, I see the effect of my sins in the way my donkey behaves with me and in the way my wife speaks to me. Ya salam. Haya. Brothers, next time your wife says to you, Abu Yusuf, come here. There's no love there, right? Okay? When your wife says that to you, sounds like your mom more than your wife, it's probably because you earned it. It's because you sinned with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has removed that respect from your wife's words. Make sense, ikhwati? In the same way, sisters, when you lose your respect with your children, it's probably because you have sinned. And because of this, ya ikhwati, because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed the respect or your respect from the eyes of your children. So what is the escape from all of this? How do we escape this cycle? The only escape, ya ikhwati, is to come back to Allah azza wa jal. The only escape from all of these problems and all of these sins is to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way to escape this cycle is to stop the cycle of sinning and to remove it and replace it with good deeds. In particular, two things. And if you are going to prepare for Ramadan, then I do not know of any better way to prepare for Ramadan than these two things. What is it? Number one is sincere repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. Come back to Allah Azza wa Jal with a penitent heart. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a slave that is so regretful of the sins that he has done. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worrying about what you have done in the past and being very concerned that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take you to account. Ya ikhwati, there is nothing more beautiful than a penitent slave. In the authentic narration, the Prophet said that I repent to Allah more than 70 times. And this is a man who has no sins. Another authentic narration was reported that he repented 70 times in every gathering. Some of the scholars said, how many gatherings did the Prophet have? They calculated more than 20 to 30 gatherings. That means the Prophet made istighfar and tawbah more than 3,000 to 4,000 times a day. It was reported that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, when something is difficult upon me, I sit down and I say, astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah al-azim. How many times? He said, I say it more than 1,000 times. Ya ikhwati, when's the last time you actually said, that's it, I've got 10 minutes to wait, I'm waiting for the lecture, or I'm waiting for the car to warm up, started the engine, waiting for the car to warm up, I'm just going to make tawbah to Allah. Because that is the best way to remove all of these problems, to have more wealth, to have more children, to have people respect you, to have your money come to you. All of these things will be rectified if you truly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ikhwati, I counted how long it takes to say astaghfirullah. I counted it. I actually tried it. Yeah? I counted how long it takes to say astaghfirullah 1,000 times. And for me, to say astaghfirullah, it took exactly 10 minutes to say it 1,000 times. So if you have a spare 10 minutes, it is easy to just sit down and say astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. And remembering, whilst you're saying it, honestly remembering every single aib that you have, every single fault that you have, every single weakness that you have, and truly making your heart penitent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ikhwati, in the authentic narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best friends of Allah are the ones who repent to Allah the most. Best friends of Allah are the ones who repent to Allah the most. How much do we repent to Allah Azza wa Jal every day, ikhwati? Ya ikhwati, do you know? And one of the most amazing things about the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for himself so many beautiful names, right? One of the most amazing things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a name for himself which is called Ash-Shakir and Ash-Shakur. Have you heard of those names? Ash-Shakir and Shakur. Do you know what that means? Well, hamd, which is praise, is to praise Allah. Hamd, praise, is to praise Allah with two things. With your heart and on your mouth. So when you say Alhamdulillah, praise be to God, then you have praised Allah, correct? But shukr, thanks, is a level more than praise. You need three things in order to thank somebody, but you need two things to praise somebody. You just need the belief in the heart and the statement of the tongue in order to praise somebody. But to thank somebody, you've got to do three things minimum. What are those three things? First, you've got to actually thank the person. Thank you, akhi, for giving me that water. Yeah? So that's the thank you. The second thing you have to do to thank somebody is you have to give something back to that person. So the brother gave me a water, I give him back a Coke. He gave me an ice cream, I give him back a box of chocolates. Does that make sense? So I give him back something. This is part of thanking. The third thing I have to do, I haven't finished. To be truly thankful, I've got to do the third thing. You know what the third thing is? I've got to actually mention this person, this brother Muhammad, who gave me that water or that ice cream to other people. So I've got to go to another group of people and say, hey guys, you know this guy Muhammad? Man, he's such an amazing guy. He gave me an ice cream. Can you imagine that? I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say? I have to mention him and his good deed in front of others. Then and only then have I given thanks. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And how few of my slaves are shakur, are thankful to me. Because we don't, all we do is hamd. All is alhamdulillah. I just had food. We eat, we drink. Oh, alhamdulillah. I mean, what was that? That was just hamd, ya akhi. But everyone is saying alhamdulillah. Christians are saying praise be to God. Hallelujah, right? Haven't you sung that? Hallelujah. So, yeah, hallelujah means, you know, glory be to God, you know, praise be to God. The Christians and the Jews, everyone is thanking God. They're praising God. But it's not praise that's important now. What you need to do is shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So ask yourself, how are you going to thank Allah Azza wa Jal? First, you have to thank Allah with your repentance. Secondly, you've got to give Allah back something. What are you going to give back Allah? What are you going to give Allah? What did He give you? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you could never enumerate it. So He's given you every single thing. And do you know which or how you can truly realize a blessing of Allah? You can only realize it when you don't have it. I'll tell you two places in the hospital to go to for you to realize the blessings of Allah. You go to two places, right? Don't go to the fourth, the third place. Just go to two places. Number one, you go to the respiratory ward. The respiratory diseases ward, yeah? Number two, you go to the palliative ward. The respiratory ward is full of those people who are dying because they can't breathe. Oh my God. I'm telling you, nothing else matters when you can't breathe. Nothing else matters when you can't breathe. Just try holding your breath for a few minutes and see how it feels. That is how they feel for the rest of their life and will never get better. Until they have a lung transplant or something else will happen to them. Ya ikhwati, this is a respiratory ward and you will truly appreciate the value of air. And the other one is a palliative ward. Go there. The palliative ward are those people who are dying because of cancer or some other diseases. And we don't know, we doctors don't know whether it is them dying because of the disease or sometimes it is us killing them because of the amount of pain medication we have to give them in order to stop the pain, the severe pain of cancer. And guess what? 1/4 of us here are probably going to die from cancer. 1/4. 1/3 of us are probably going to die from heart disease or some diabetic related diseases. That's the statistic. This is the truth. So, ikhwati, if this is the reality, what are you going to do to Allah Azza wa Jal when He has given all these blessings to you? What are you going to do back? And number three is, are you going to find an opportunity to praise Allah and mention Allah and His blessings to other people? If you are truly thankful to Allah, then know this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself as Ash-Shakir and Ash-Shakur. What does Ash-Shakir mean? What does Ash-Shakur mean? Wallahi, when you truly understand this, and another name, Al-Wadud, wow, I'm telling you, for me, these three names of Allah Azza wa Jal are some of the most powerful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Ash-Shakir mean? Ash-Shakir means the one who is constantly thankful. And it is not a single moment in time except that he is thanking someone or the other for something that people or creation are doing back to them, okay? Doing back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is thanking them. So he's a shakir, the one who is constantly thankful. A shakur, what does a shakur mean? Al-fa'ul, which means the one who is excessively thankful. The one who is so extreme. I mean, let me give you an example, right? This brother Muhammad who buys me this ice cream. Oh my God, he bought me an ice cream? Did you buy me an ice cream? Oh my God. And I now go out there and I buy him an ice cream van. Whoa, isn't it? Absolutely. Sounds mad, isn't it? That's really thankful. Would you agree? That's really thankful. But guess what? You know what? We sometimes do that with our children. My child, my little daughter Maryam, 6 years old. The other day, she drew me a picture, and she drew this bald guy, because I came back from Umrah after shaving my head, bald guy with a big beard, and said, "Dad, you're the best. You're my hero, and you're the best person in the world." I got so happy, right? I think I went a bit too, I was too happy. I think I was probably bipolar. Yeah? And then I was so happy, I took her to the stores, and I bought us too many presents. I mean, she just drew me on one piece of paper, right? With one crayon, which is even half used, one simple card. But I went out there to go to Toys R Us, and I bought her, subhanAllah, until I'm sure my credit card is going to bounce very soon. Subhanallah, I bought her a bike, I bought her, you know, so many things, subhanallah, because I was so happy. Ya ikhwati, imagine the thankfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who takes his slaves as someone that is more beloved to him than children. How much I love Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us even more. In fact, in one narration, in Tafsir al-Tabari, wallahi, this narration blows my mind away. In Tafsir al-Tabari, it is reported, again, guys, I'm not saying what I was meant to say today, but labas. In Tafsir al-Tabari, it is reported, listen to this statement, that when the sun rises, the sky speaks to Allah and says, "Oh Allah, humanity disobeys you. Allow me to destroy it with lightning from myself." And the mountains speak out, "Oh Allah, humanity does not worship you. Allow me to destroy it by crushing it between two mountains." The earth says, "Oh Allah, humanity disobeys you upon me. I know what they do in secret. Oh Allah, allow me to destroy with an earthquake." And the oceans say, "Oh Allah, humanity disbelieves in you. Despite all your favors, allow me to destroy it with a tsunami." Destroy all of humanity with a tsunami every single day. They ask Allah for this. Then Allah says back to them, in this narration, it's reported in Tafsir al-Tabari, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks back to them and says, "Antum khalaqtumuhum? Have you created them?" To the sun, the moon, and stars, and to the heavens and the earth, Allah says, "Have you created human beings?" And so they all say, "No, Allah, we haven't created them." So Allah says, Leave my slaves to me. Whoever... Man shakarani fa inni habibuhu, wa man lam yashkurni fa inni tabibuhu. La ilaha illallah. This statement, what an amazing statement. It is quoted that Allah says to the heavens and the earth, "Whoever thanks me, then I am his best friend. And whoever does not thank me, then I am his doctor. I will cure him from his disease very soon." Our Lord has so much faith in us. And that's why even when we sin, Allah provides for us. Even when we sin and continue to be bad to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is good and even more better to us. Why? Because He has every positive thought that perhaps we are going to turn around a new leaf very soon. So, ya ikhwati, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. Ash-shakur. So when you do something for Allah, first thing Allah is going to do is He's going to actually say thank you. How is he going to say thank you? Let me give you one narration. Oh my God, this narration sends shivers down my spine. It is authentically reported in the story of the death of Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Who was Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh? He was a companion with the noblemen of the Ansar. When he accepted Islam, then all the people of Medina accepted Islam. So he was that important. So Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, when he passed away, and how did he pass away? Basically, an arrow came and slit the side of his throat, and he got infected. And this happened in the Battle of the Ahzab, which is the Battle of the Khandaq. And it got infected, and he became septic, and 14 days later, he passed away. The Prophet ﷺ said, listen to this, the Prophet ﷺ, on the day that he died, took his coffin like this, and then he started to tiptoe, meaning trying to see where he can put his foot, one foot there. Trying to see where he can put his foot, then one foot there. So Umar said, "Ya Rasulullah, why are you tiptoeing?" He said, "Wallahi, I cannot find a single place to put my foot from the number of angels that have come down to pray on the body of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh." Allahu Akbar. So they took the body of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and buried him. And look at what Rasulullah said. Look at this hadith. He said, "Ihtazza arsh al-Rahman li mawti Sa'd ibn Mu'adh." He said, "What? Ihtazza. What does ihtazza mean? The throne of Allah shook when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died. What does it mean by shook?" The scholars of tafsir, the scholars of hadith, they mentioned, and I came across this only recently, they mentioned that ihtazza is a term in Arabic language that means to shake with happiness. So the throne of Allah shook with happiness when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died. You know why? Because Allah is so happy, Allah is just about to meet Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Allah is going to meet Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. So the throne of Allah is happy. Ya ikhwati, subhanAllah, this, can you imagine the pleasure of Allah with his slaves that worship him? Can you imagine the pleasure of Allah with his slaves that truly are true slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal? Because they go beyond being slaves to becoming the friends of Allah. Go beyond becoming friends to becoming the closest friends of Allah. Khalil. They become the bosom buddies. The closest friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Ya ikhwati, ash-shakur is a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ash-shakur is someone who is first going to thank you. So he's going to actually say thank you to you. Imagine the day when you meet Allah, he's going to thank you. Thank you, my slave, for fasting for my cause. Thank you, my slave, for praying to me. Thank you, my slave, for defending my faith. Thank you, my slave, for looking after your brothers who are in need. Thank you, my slave, for going to do Hajj to my house. Thank you, my slave, for sacrificing your life for my cause. So he's going to thank you. How honorable is that? How amazing is that? The second thing Allah is going to do is he's going to give you something back bigger than what you gave him. What did you give him? Just 70 years of a life. You gave him pittance of a few bits of money. A car, a house perhaps. He gave him a few hours only. You gave him something that is so insignificant in his eyes. But to Allah, it is so significant. That Allah will take this small tiny gift of yours, like Maryam's letter to me, where she said, "My dad, you're my hero, and he's going to give Jannah to you, eternal Jannah." To see his face, to speak to him one to one. There is no slave who will enter Jannah except that every single week there will be an hour in which he will speak to Allah one to one. And that will be every single week in Jannah. Can you imagine that? La ilaha illallah, how exciting is that? You know, the greatest difficulty of Jahannam is not the fire or the burning. The greatest difficulty is you'll never be able to see Allah ever. You'll never ever be able to speak to Allah ever. You'll never ever be spoken to by Allah. You'll never ever have a one-to-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever. That's the greatest difficulty of Jahannam. Ya ikhwati, the second thing Allah will do is he will give you something that is far more valuable than what you offered him. The third thing Allah will do is he will brag about you to those people that are better than you. Can you imagine? Right now, because you might be feeling some regret in your heart, you might be thanking Allah somewhere or the other, you might be giving sadaqah and charity to this beautiful masjid, that Allah will thank you by actually mentioning your name right now to those that are with him, to Jibreel and Mikael. So Allah will say, "Oh Jibreel, do you know this slave of mine down there in this place in Toronto? What an amazing slave of mine he is or she is. She just gave her hard-earned money that she needed herself for her food tonight. She gave it for Allah's cause, for my cause. How? Tell me, how can I reward that person?"
And this is why, ikhwati, it is authentically reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brags about the people of Arafat. He brags about the people who are on the plains of Arafat. And he says, why have they come, O my angels? Why have these people come? They have come, O Allah, seeking your mercy and your good favor. So Allah says to all the angels in the heavens, they are bragging about them. I make you my witness, O angels, I have forgiven them. Ya salam, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the shakur. Ya ikhwati, my friends, we have a very beautiful God. He is a shakur, a shakir. Above all, he has also named himself with another name. Do you know what that name is? It's called Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud. Do you know what Al-Wadud is? Al-Wadud is the loving God. The God that loves his creation intensely, more than a mother can ever love her child. In fact, the love of a mother for her child is only 1% of the love, or less than 1% of the love. And some of the scholars mention that all of the love in this dunya is only 1% of the love that Allah has for believers. Ya ikhwati, so much so is Allah in love with his creation that he has created, that Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, I love this man Sufyan, so I love the statements he said. Sufyan al-Thawri, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, wallahi, I know that Allah loves me more than my parents, so I would rather take Allah as my judge on the day of judgment. I would not take my parents as the judge on the day of judgment. I would rather have Allah judge me. Of course I will have Allah judge me, because I'm certain he loves me more than my own parents. And as a result, he'll be even more merciful to me than if my own parents were to judge me. Ya ikhwati, if this is the type of God that we worship, if these are the qualities that this God possesses, why have we been denying ourselves the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why have we been denying ourselves remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya ikhwati, come back to Allah, come back to Allah. The best preparation for Ramadan is to come back to Allah. Two things only I ask you to do to come back to Allah. Number one is your tahajjud salah, don't forget it. Best salah for ikhlas, best ibadah of ikhlas, best ibadah of ikhlas. And read Surah Muzammil, where Allah Azza wa Jal tells you to pray at night. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O the one covered up in garments. Qumil layla illa qalila, stand up the night, all of it except for a little bit, for sleep. Nisfahu awin qusminhu qalila, half of it, or a little less than half. Awzid alayhi, or a little bit more than half, two-thirds. Warattilil qur'ana tartila, and recite the Qur'an with a beautiful recitation, because I'll be listening to it attentively, and I will have come down to the last third of the heavens, and I'm closest to you at that point. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila, when you have come close to me, by doing so, then and only then will you be strong enough, at which point I will give you a tremendous responsibility, a heavy responsibility. Inna laka, inna nashi'ata laylihi ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Verily, the nashi'ata layl, the recitation, the ibadah of the night, is stronger in attachment and better for ibadah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. For you all in the morning is a lot of work. In the morning you've got too many things to do, too many activities that you do. Wadhkur isma rabbika, so remember the name of your Lord at night. Watabattal ilayhi tabtila, and come close to him with a beautiful offering of your ibadah. Rabbul mashriqi wal maghrib, the Lord of the east and the west. La ilaha illa hu, there is no deity worthy of worship except he. Fattakhidhu wakila, so take him as your helper. Take him as your friend. Take him as your agent. Take him as your wakil. La ilaha illallah. Amazing. Ya ikhwati, this is the first thing I advise you to do. Come back to Allah. Come back to Allah with your ibadah and salah. That will prepare you for tahajjud and qiyam al-layl and taraweeh. So you never ever miss taraweeh. The second thing, the second act of ibadah to come back to Allah with is the days of fasting. Is fasting. And especially those days that are the hottest. Seek out the longest of days, seek out the hottest of days. Seek out the longest of days, seek out the hottest of days. It was reported in an authentic hadith that there was a day when the Sahaba were all traveling. Very, very hot. Do you know how hot it gets in Medina, by the way? I lived in Medina for 6 years. Let me tell you how hot it gets. It's mad. It is. It's like, have you seen those furnaces where they make the Lebanese pizza? Yeah. Literally, it burns. It is so hot. I remember at Asr time, when I used to get into the car, I couldn't touch the steering wheel from the heat. I had to take tissue paper. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then I would touch the steering wheel with that. It was so hot. My steering wheel, I remember, melted from the heat. One day, I remember it was so hot that I forgot to actually put my window down in my car. And it was so hot that actually I came to that day and I found that my windows had burst in my car. Because inside the car was like a sauna. It was like a, gas house. It is so hot in Medina. SubhanAllah. So, my brothers and sisters in Islam, seek out the longest days to fast. In this authentic hadith reported that the Sahaba were traveling. It was so hot that there was not a single person fasting. The sun was so hot that they were using their hands to cover their faces. And they put whatever they could on their faces. No one was fasting on that day except for one man. Do you know who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people asked him, why, Ya Rasulullah, are you fasting on this day? It's not Ramadan. Why are you torturing yourself? Do you know what he said? He said, I'm preparing for a day that is even more hotter than that. And that's why the righteous people seek out the longest days and the hottest of days. Not the other way around. You have some days you missed in Ramadan. Oh, quick. Seek out those, nice, easy, cold ones in December or January. Right, auntie? Isn't that right? Right. That's why when my wife does it, it's like, astaghfirullah, tubulallah, astaghfirullah. So, alhamdulillah, this time, my wife actually forgot to fast or make them up in January and February. So now she's stuck right now, before Ramadan, the longest of days in summer. Now she has to make it up now. And she's like, grumpy, but it's like, don't worry, I'm fasting with you as well. Moral support. Ikhwati, seek out the longest of days. Do you know why? Because it's a beautiful narration that's reported by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali Lataif al-Ma'arif. You know what he said? He said that a man, listen to this, this is for the brothers. Sorry, sisters, what can I say? It's for the brothers. Brothers, this is for you. Just because you're so patient and you're such nice people here, brothers. Okay, brothers, listen to this. It is reported that a man will be lying on the plains of the beaches of the rivers of the garden of paradise with his beautiful wife from the Hur al-Ain. And they will be swimming in the rivers and they'll be hugging and kissing each other. And as they're hugging and kissing each other and his wife is singing to him, she will say, oh my beloved husband, do you know which day Allah married me to you? And so this man will say, no, tell me, which day did Allah marry me to you? He said, remember that day? It was so hot. It was so long. Allah looked down and he saw you fasting for him. He saw that no one could see you. He saw that you knew that no one would know if you took a drink. But he saw that you were fasting only for him. So he was so thankful that he married me to you. He created me on that day and he married me to you on that day. And he told me, this is your husband, look at him now. And since that day, I've been looking down and I've been praying to Allah, oh Allah, let him die, bring him to me. Oh Allah, let him die, bring him to me. Yes, Allah. Next time, brothers, when it's a hot day, fast. Perhaps that is the day Allah will give you a wife from Jannah. Seriously. We should always ask Allah for khair. Sorry, sisters, this is just, what can I say?
ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You know what I'm saying? This is the blessings of Allah. He gives it to whoever wishes. Don't worry, I have stuff for women too. Inshallah. That's in a separate lecture. That's going to come up another time. Just joking. Ya ikhwati, sisters in Islam, don't worry. I know. It's like the men always get it, right? The men. Ya ikhwati, for sisters, of course, in Jannah, no hijab. Okay, happy? No hijab. This hijab, it's very cumbersome. You get hot, your hair gets messy, right? Your beautiful hair doesn't show. You want to have freedom. In an authentic narration is reported, listen to this. In authentic narration is reported that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was walking, and she was obviously covered up totally in hijab, niqab and everything. And she was walking past, and there was this really beautiful girl that was walking past from the non-Muslims. And she was walking past, right? And she was very, you know, extravagantly dressed and very beautifully, you know, lipstick and whatever else, you know, mascara and whatever else, really decked out. And I'm just making that up, by the way. But anyway, so listen to what she said. She lifted up her hijab like this to have a look at her, right? Okay? And then she said, with a frown on her face, listen to what she said. Look at the izzah in the belief, the heart of a believer. She said, enjoy it in this dunya. She said to her, enjoy it in this dunya, for it is for you in this dunya and for us in the akhirah. Ya ikhwati, whoever cries in this dunya for Allah, Allah will make him happy in the akhirah. Whoever connects with Allah in this dunya, Allah will make him connected with Allah in the akhirah. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, verily in this life is a jannah. Whoever does not enter the jannah of this dunya will never ever enter the jannah of the akhirah. Do you know what that jannah is? That jannah is falling in love with Allah Azza wa Jal. Fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again. And it's not going to always come easy sometimes. It takes time. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he said, for 10 years I hated my tahajjud prayer. For the next 10 years, I still prayed it, but for the next 10 years, I tolerated it. And then for the next 10 years, I fell in love with it. It doesn't come easy sometimes. Ibadah doesn't come easy. But that is the only way to persist and to struggle with it is the only way. So, ikhwati, my brothers and sisters in Islam, have you ever seen a soccer match or a basketball match where people don't warm up? Yeah, if you don't warm up, right? Or a boxing match, for example. If you don't warm up, you don't get your muscles and you stretch your muscles ready, you're going to eventually lose. You're going to have a stitch or something or the other. You're going to pull a hamstring and then off you go. Correct? If you don't prepare for Ramadan, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have a stitch. You're going to pull a muscle. Of course, you're not going to pull a muscle or a stitch, but what's going to happen is, first day Ramadan comes, it's wow, it's exciting. Second day comes, I'm thirsty. Third day comes, I'm hungry. Fourth day comes, it's like, I'm dead. Right? That's exactly what happens. Don't do that to yourself. Prepare by fasting now. Tahajjud, first night comes, Taraweeh, mashallah, the masjid is overflowing. You need 2 isnas now. Second day comes, you only need 1.5 isna. Third day comes, isna is enough. Fourth day comes, you don't need isna. Isn't it true? It's exactly what happens. You know why? Because we are the Ramadan warriors. Ramadan, yeah! We're going to do war in Ramadan. But guess what? Without preparation, you're not much of a warrior. You're not much of a warrior with ibadah. You're not much of a warrior. Prepare now. It was authentically reported that the Prophet ﷺ did not fast in any month, all of the month, other than Ramadan, except for the month right before Ramadan, which is Sha'ban. So he fasted all of Sha'ban, right? So prepare for the month of Ramadan by fasting all of Sha'ban, every day. Yeah, every day, fast. Start now. Start now in Rajab, no problem. Follow it up with fasting in Ramadan, fasting in Sha'ban,
follow it up with easy fasting in Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also, your tahajjud and qiyam al-layl. If you want to make it easy for you, then start today. Start now. Did anyone listen to me yesterday when I said, don't sleep without two rak'ahs? I sincerely hope you did. I know. I can see 000. Yeah. 00. So it's like, see, he's also saying it's 000. Okay, it's time to get off. I know. But I'm going to take two more minutes, yeah. Okay? Defiance, yeah? Ya ikhwati, don't become a Ramadan warrior. Be of those people who fast now and who pray now in preparation. And another thing, of course, it's very difficult to give your zakat only on that day. You have to get into a habit of giving sadaqah now. Sadaqah starts now, yeah? Sadaqah starts now. And remember, Sha'ban, which is the month just before Ramadan, is like the two rak'ahs of Fajr. Just like Fajr, remember, has two rak'ahs. Fajr, two rak'ah, the obligatory prayer has two rak'ahs before it, right? So in the same way, ikhwati, Ramadan, which is obligatory fasting, has the month of Sha'ban before it. So that you can also pray the two rak'ahs. And just like, for example, Dhuhr has two rak'ah sunnah right after Dhuhr, in the same way Ramadan has the 10 days of Shawwal to fast as well. Okay? That's why they are called the mu'akkada fasts, meaning the very highly recommended fasts. Because if you do that, then you've not only followed the sunnah of the Prophet, you've also prepared from an easy Ramadan. And of course, my brothers and sisters, Islam, one of the reasons why Ramadan was given to us is so that we remember two types of people. Who are they? Number one is the poor, who have no food to eat. Number two are the prisoners of war. So that we remember them. Why do you remember prisoners of war? Because they don't have their families with them. So in the same way, we remember the prisoners of war who will never have their families with them, because we also stay away from our families in the days of Ramadan. So, ikhwati, in these days, remember the poor. Remember the prisoners of war. They're languishing in prisons. Or others who are in the prison of this life, languishing in the poverty, in the prison of poverty. Remember these people. Come close to Allah by being good to them. You know, I want to tell you something that is more exciting. It's the final thing I'm going to say, inshallah. You know something I'm going to tell you that is more exciting than buying a new Bentley, a new Porsche, a new Lamborghini? Something that's more exciting than buying a new house, three stories, beautiful backyard, fantastic fireplace, fully decked out, more exciting than having a credit card with an unlimited cash balance, more exciting than getting married to a beautiful woman or an amazing husband? Do you know what's more exciting than getting a raise in your job or getting a kiss from your son or your daughter? Do you know what's more exciting than all of these things? It's to make a poor Muslim happy. It's to put a smile on an orphan's face. It's to put a smile on a father's face as he says, thank you for saving my dignity in front of my family. It's the smile and the dua that a woman will make, a Muslim woman will make, when she says, thank you for saving my dignity, my honor, and my chastity. Because I was about to sell myself because I didn't have food. It's the dua the prisoners will make in saying, oh Allah, this person remembered me, you remember him. He remembered me when everyone forgot me, you remember him when everyone will forget him. That is more exciting, wallahi. That is the reward of the da'i. That is the reward of the one who works for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal by helping people. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, do not deny yourselves this amazing opportunity to have paradise on this earth, to taste the sweetest thing, which is to know that Allah loves you and that you love Him back, and that you're excited for that day when you will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that on that day, bi-idhnillah, just like the throne of Ar-Rahman shook from happiness on the day of the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down His angels to pray over us, and also for His throne to shake on the day that we die from the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jal at meeting us. Jazakumullah khair to all my brothers and sisters for attending this beautiful conference, to all my brothers and sisters for organizing it, for my beautiful mashayikh for leading it, and to all my brothers and sisters, the volunteers, for all the hard work that they have done, and for this amazing person over here, and our amazing person over there who were translating madly, right? They've been like, I've got no idea what they're saying, but madly translating, alhamdulillah, everything that we're saying patiently with all the bad jokes. I don't know how they've been doing with the jokes, but I'm sure, inshallah, it's been funny. Zakallah khair once again. Inshallah, I'll see you another time. Salam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.